This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Everyone faces a time when they finally leave school and move out of mom and dad's house to begin their careers and start their own lives. As exciting as that time of life can be, it can also be incredibly challenging, even for the well-prepared. Now, imagine you are going through that time of life as someone who has autism or Asperger's syndrome. In addition to the normal challenges that that time of life can bring, they also have varying degrees of special needs when it comes to social interaction and presenting the most basic of interpersonal skills required in the workplace. Plus, some of the services they've depended on as children now start falling away. In short, they need a little extra help. One of the programs stepping in to fill that need is in Davidson. It's called Ignite and offers training, job search help, and an important sense of community for its members. Ignite is the brainchild of Ray Evernham, the 3-time NASCAR crew chief for Jeff Gordon, host of the TV show Americana on the Velocity Channel, and the parent of a young adult, with autism. And he joins us by phone in this first part of the program. And I want to educate people, Mr. Evernham, because I didn't know this until I actually read your name carefully many times in print yesterday, but you have an N in your last name. I don't think people know that.
No, I do, but it's okay, you know, what they say. It doesn't matter what you call me, long as you call me. So it is Evernham, but have been called Evernham for a long time. I think that goes way back to the early PA announcers of racing on the Jersey Shore.
Whoa. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it. Also with us in our Spirit Square studio is Stacey Hultgren, director of Ignite. Good morning and welcome to you. Nancy Popkin is an autism resource specialist with the Autism Society of North Carolina and the parent of a young adult with autism. Actually, you both have young adults with autism. Thank you for joining us, too.
You're welcome.
And Mike Houck is a club member of Ignite and a young adult with Asperger's. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I walked into the studio this morning, and I put my hand out to Mike, and I said, "Hi, Mike. I'm Mike." And he said,
"Hi, me."
Hi, me. Ray, your son, Ray J., has autism. How old is he today?
Ray J. is 24 years old, and he wasn't diagnosed with Asperger's or being on the spectrum until he was about 14 years old.
Wow. So what's that transition in life been like for you, your family, and your son?
Well, it was difficult in understanding, and I know you said I was the brainchild of Ignite, but I think it's something that the people at the Autism Society of North Carolina and people like Stacy and Nancy and Kate Hall and the people who helped us knew had to be done for a long time, and just trying to understand how to communicate with my son and the challenges that he was going through, transitioning from a teenager to a young adult, and trying to get into the community, it was as much about communication and awareness as anything else. So, you know, not only understanding or trying to educate him, it was educating myself as well. And I didn't even realize how tough it was for him to make it through the day on what I would consider a normal day. And as we all know, normal is just a baseline. So the communication that the folks at the Autism Society of North Carolina have taught me has just been amazing in helping build my relationship with my son.
Well, you said that you realized that young people with autism and Asperger's as young adults face limited opportunities for continuing education and socialization. Talk about that for a second.
Well, we're so quick to judge in our world. We're so quick to judge on what people say or what they look like or the way they act, and we don't sometimes dig down deep enough to that person. We don't look past that. And people on the spectrum sometimes are socially different from what our norm would be. They dress a little bit different. They act a little bit different. And they don't mix in or be as upfront or as open as many of us are. Hmm. And because of that, they're not really given the opportunity, the same opportunities that we are to get jobs to go out or to have friends and do things. And I really started to realize that, having my son on the spectrum has taught me an awful lot about how we are as a group, that we need to look past some of the social things that these people, when I say these people on the spectrum do. It being judged by the way they look or by the way they act has stopped them from getting an opportunity to be a good member of the community. And these a lot of the young adults that go through our clubhouse have just great personalities and a lot of things to offer to become good citizens, good members of the community. And I really feel like a lot of times they're not given that opportunity because people don't get to know them.
Yeah, as we know, there is no such thing as normal. Although we all think we are normal, we really aren't. And that's probably why we don't get along with each other sometimes, because you're not exactly like me. Ignite is designed to help young adults with high-functioning autism and Asperger's. So Nancy Popkin, define those terms. What are we talking about there?
So it's interesting. Autism is a spectrum disorder. And in fact, the new DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, version 5, calls it all autism spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. And if you think about this continuum of characteristics associated with the diagnosis in the areas of socialization and communication and stereotypical behaviors and sensory experiences, those there's a from mild to pretty significant. And so when we talk about high-functioning autism and Asperger's syndrome, we're talking about having a lot of characteristics in that milder end and not having an intellectual disability to go along with that. So at that end of the spectrum, we're talking about people who, you know, maybe want to be around others and want to socialize but not have all the tools to do that, maybe not good at self-regulating and not necessarily communicating their wants and needs the way they, you know, would want to or would like to.
And we'll talk about this later in some detail, but they also bring to the table a lot of skills and abilities that those people who consider themselves to be normal don't have.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
Yeah, and they can bring to the table some interesting things that other people can't bring. Studies have described this period between adolescence, the late teen years and the early young adult years, as a period of floundering, even for the healthiest of us, because it's a difficult transition to make, and you don't know who you are yet, and you're trying to find yourself and what your place in the world is, and how you go from being a kid who maybe skipped class a couple of times a year to somebody who has to hold a job and be there every day at 9 to 5. It can last for several years, but for those people on this spectrum that you're talking about, it can sometimes last a lifetime, and that's why Ignite was birthed. Is it not? That's what it functions as, a way to help these folks transition quicker.
Yeah, it is. And I know Stacey can talk about it too. But I think, you know, when we move out of school, that, you know, they're graduating at the age of 18, 19, 20, and from high school. And it is a part of autism is a developmental disability. So developmentally, they're moving a little slower, and they need to have more support, longer time to continue to work on goals. And I think it's really important for everybody, parents and everybody else in the community, to understand that they're still developing and making gains and gaining skills, and we just need to work on them.
What do young people with high-functioning autism and Asperger's need, Stacey?
Well, they need a lot of help with their social skills on, you know, how to understand other people's expressions or just being flexible in a conversation and having it not be repetitive over and over their favorite thing. They need to understand about workplace environments and expectations and problem solving, critical thinking. So they may have some pretty significantly great skills in splinter kind of areas, so that they might have, you know, like Mike here is really good at fixing computers and teaching people how to use their computers and things. But they have to learn things that they've never been taught, because in school, nobody thought they had to teach social skills. Kids just kind of learn that as they go along. And for kids on the spectrum, that's not really true. They kind of need to understand on a deeper level how to communicate socially with others. So that's a really big one. And, you know, employment skills and being out in the community. Some of them have never been to a restaurant or had to tip or had to you know, thought about driving. If you have nowhere to go, why would you drive?
Yeah. We're going to meet Mike in the next segment, and we'll talk a lot to Mike. But you're going to talk a lot to you, Michael, about about your life and what Ignite means to you. But, Ray, you've been driven all your life by a passion for automobiles, and that drive has taken you to the top of your profession. You've won all these titles and run your own companies. You've had this time to start Evernham Family Racing for a Reason Foundation, which helps children in need. You were instrumental in building Charlotte's Ronald McDonald House. Now you've started Ignite up at Davidson. From what do you derive the most satisfaction, your automobile work, your car racing endeavors, or from all these philanthropic activities that you've been involved in recent years?
Well, you know, I love my cars. You know, there's no doubt that's my passion. But you start to realize as you become fortunate and accomplish some of the things that you want to in life that the biggest difference that you can make are in people's lives. And I get a great feeling when I go to Ignite to see the club members and know that we're making a difference, because when you can look in someone's eyes or shake their hand or see them develop and know that somehow, some way, that you're helping make a difference in the world. Because I tell everybody, you never know who's coming through the door of that clubhouse. You don't know whether it's going to be the next Albert Einstein, you know, the next Martin Luther King, the doctor that cures cancer. Our club members are amazing people, and there's hundreds of thousands of amazing people in the world that are on the spectrum and just need a little bit of understanding. So if, you know, when it's time for the lights to go out on Ray Evernham, you know, I hope that we've made a big enough difference in understanding that people, or raising awareness. And I know that term's used a lot, but I'm really proud of not only the fact that Ignite and our Americana car show is able to help fund and help people, but we've also raised a lot of awareness about what exactly Asperger's is, what does it really mean to be on the spectrum, and how can we help these people. And I think that I get the biggest satisfaction out of walking into Ignite and being able to look a lot of our young adults in the eye and realize we've made a difference.
Mm. Ignite, we have about 2 minutes left before you have to leave us, Ray, but Ignite, what's the meaning of the name of it?
Well, that was something that my son Ray J was involved in with Stacy and the group. It's something that we tried to start in honor of Ray J. And, you know, Ignite to him was, you know, starting over, being able to ignite passion and ignite. And really, again, I thought it was brilliant what they came up with, but it was igniting that spark that took you to a different place that got passion and emotion. You know, I thought, you know, really brilliant on his part.
Given the need for this around the country, this is the first of its kind. This program is the first of its kind in the country, I'm told. Does that surprise you?
It does. It blew me away when I realized there was nothing for them, and that's why I again went to the people at the ASNC and I said, look, I'll find a way to fund this if you'll help me run it. And Stacy, Kate Hall, Nancy, everybody has been great. But we need these things to pop up around the country like a little McDonald's franchise or something. There's a big need for just a little bit of assistance. And a little bit of assistance goes a long way with a person on the spectrum.
I should point out that Ray Evernham provided the seed money for this for Ignite, this club in Davidson. But people attend free of charge. And there's an annual Thanksgiving weekend fundraiser called Americana Live, essentially a live version of Ray Evernham's show. We have information about that on our website at WFAE.org. Ray Evernham, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us on.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Mecklenburg County Solid Waste. Recycling one ton of plastic bottles saves about 160 gallons of petroleum and enough electricity to power a house for about 6 months. Together, we can wipe out waste. Wipeoutwaste.com. And from PNC Wealth Management, the PNC team can provide insights that help customers make the most of their wealth. More information from Jennifer Green at 704-686-2129. At first, antibiotics were viewed as life-saving miracle drugs that also eliminated or shortened suffering from lots of different infections. But if you listen to Morning Edition this morning, you know that overuse now threatens their efficacy. We face a world of dangerous superbugs that cannot be stopped. We hear more about a problem, about the solution that some area hospitals have come up with to educate doctors and patients about antibiotics Monday at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup, Republican lawmakers move to restrict Syrian refugees from entering the U.S. Presidential candidates outline their plans to combat terrorism, and Bernie Sanders defines his vision of democratic socialism.
That's the Friday News Roundup on the Diane Rehm Show from 10 to noon on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Ignite, which is a we're going to talk about exactly what it is right now. But it's a location in Davidson for high-functioning Asperger, high-functioning autistic and Asperger's folks, run by Nancy Popkin, who's an run by Stacey Hultgren, who's the director of Ignite. Nancy Popkin is an autism resource specialist with the Autism Society of North Carolina. And Mike Halk is with us. He's a club member over at Ignite. We've been talking about this and around about Ignite. Exactly what is it? Mr. Everham referred to it as a club.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a community center. It's a place where you go to eat, learn things, to have fun, to make friends. It kind of covers a lot of areas that people with Asperger's don't get other places. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have a place where they could come and do what they wanted to do or what they like to do, because sometimes that's different than what typical people like to do, and at the same time to learn to communicate with each other, to make friends. We consider it a no judgment zone. It's a place where they can go and just kind of be themselves and not have to worry about what other people think of them. They've made some great connections. And friends, they email each other, they text each other and say, oh, I want to go see this movie. Do you want to go? And I think what people should understand is that when you have a social disability, you probably grew up with very minimal number of friends, if any. And so having those people to support you is extremely important, especially in this difficult, age.
So, Mike, you're a club member.
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
I am 27 years old.
And how long have you been a club member?
Since the beginning.
How long has that been?
When did
3 years. 3 years. Yeah. What was life for you like before Ignite, and what is life like after Ignite, as a member of Ignite?
Well, before Ignite, I would do nothing. I would sit at home, read on the computer, and watch TV. And that's all.
Why?
There was nothing for me to do. I had no friends. Mm-hmm. There was... I didn't want to go out anywhere,
right.
And the computer was safe.
How do you explain that? I mean, you went to high school, right?
Yes, I did.
Did you go to college?
No, I did not.
Okay. But in high school, you had no friends in high school?
I had, one friend, and I did not see him very often.
Okay. And they just kind of, it's like normal, like everybody else, after high school, everybody drops out of your life, and they go their own way. So that's exactly what is kind of happening. So what has this meant for you now that you have a chance to be around other people at will, anytime you want to?
I now have friends. I actually go out places. I've gone to parties, which I used to never do.
Mm-hmm.
I now do more than just sit at home and read on a computer.
Right.
I am out. I now have a job. I now drive, which I never thought I'd be able to do before. I had no reason to.
Right. So what's your job?
I work part-time at Ignite right now.
Uh-huh.
I volunteer at the Bin, which is a furniture bank.
Okay.
And I recently got an internship at a computer repair place.
You can come over to my house anytime you want. So, why is it difficult to make? Talk to me about Asperger's. You're on the Asperger's spectrum, right?
Yes, I am.
Tell me about yourself as an Asperger's person. What do people see in you? I'm not sure how to ask the question, to be honest with you. But what is having Asperger's done to for you? How does it affect you? There we go.
Geez, that's a little bit of a difficult one.
Or are you even aware of it? You may not be aware of it.
Well, I know I have it.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't know you had it. Sitting here having this conversation with you, I would not know. I just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you for that. it does make things a little bit more difficult sometimes, and other times it makes it a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like different things than other people do.
What do you like?
Computers, playing video games.
There are a lot of people who like that stuff.
Yes, but I'm not into, you know, most people when you say you like video games, they're like, oh, Call of Duty, Halo, stuff like that. No, I'm into a little bit different type of things like that. They may not be age appropriate, but I still enjoy them.
Okay. And what is it about computers?
There's a lot of information out there. You can go there. You can learn things. And, you know, most people might have a problem with them. For me, it's somewhat easy to help them,
mm-hmm.
for me to repair them. You know, if you've got a virus, some people are like, oh, no, what am I going to do now? Oh, no, do I need to get a new one? Do I need to repair it? Uh-huh. What? Sometimes it's just a simple fix. But some people have problems with that it's like a foreign language to them.
Yeah, for you it's easy.
Yes, for me it's easy.
So what do you think, if you'd come along 30 years ago, if you were 27 years old 30 years ago and there were no computers, what do you think you'd be focused on? What other things would you perhaps gravitate toward because they interest you in the absence of computers?
Well, they may not have had computers, but they certainly had circuit boards and wiring and electronics.
You would have been a Heathkit guy. You don't even know what that is. But
not really.
You could go to the store and you'd buy these kits of circuit boards and parts, and you'd put together things like radios and amplifiers and stuff like that. You build your own stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I actually do like to do that.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I tried one point making an ignition system for fireworks, mm-hmm. for the 4th of July. I went out, I bought all the parts for it, mm-hmm. and I started assembling it, soldering it. I made my own board for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoy that. It's fun.
Wow. Scary. Be careful. Be careful with that.
Oh, I am.
What is the criteria for getting into a program like Ignite? Because it is free. You don't have to pay. And of course, there are obviously expenses that have to be incurred. So what's the criteria for getting in?
Well, we have to interview anyone who's applying. To make sure that they fit in with our mission, which is to help them move forward. So if they're not, there are some people who aren't ready for that. They're still stuck in where Mike was for a while, where they just really kind of don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have to want to get out of that, and they have to have the skills where they can go out in the community by themselves. They don't need a one-to-one support person to keep them safe, good communication skills, and looking for a job, looking for independence.
So when she said, when Stacy just said they don't know what they want to do, like Mike didn't know what he wanted to do, how did you find out what you wanted to do through this program? And was it simply because you had no stimulation? You were sitting at home, as you said, with nothing to do. Nobody really in your life, your peer group, your age group.
Mm-hmm.
And until you got to Ignite and the world kind of opened up, how could you possibly know what you wanted to do until opportunities were presented to you?
Well, I knew I liked computers back
then,
but I didn't see a need to do anything about it. You know? After high school, just sat around.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing for me to do, and I was bored most of the time.
Wow.
You know, Mike, when most kids get to that age and you say, okay, just, you know, write a resume or fill out some applications and go and get a job, it just sounds so easy.
Right.
But for people on the spectrum, that's a very difficult process. And, you know, they need instruction on how to do that. And
was the idea of doing that frightening, scary? Did it even occur to you that that's something that you could do?
Yeah, I knew it was something I could do. But, you know, some things on a resume, you take at face value.
Mm-hmm.
Some people on the spectrum are almost literalists. If they tell you to keep your eye on the ball,
you will.
Yeah, you'll put your eye on the ball.
Is that you, or is that are you?
That was me when I was younger. Yes.
Okay. you're laughing about that now.
Yes. You know, I won't do that anymore. Sometimes it would just be funny, but back then I didn't know any better.
Yeah. I got it. So one of the things that you say you work with these young adults to help them gain confidence and independence on their own chosen path. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you accomplish that? How do you help these kids?
Well, they're like everybody else in the world in that, you know, they all want something different. They all have a different path to walk. And we're not there to say, you need to go back to college or you need to have a job at this or, you know, give them any direction. We want to know what their passion is and to figure out what are the steps that this person needs to do to follow that path to get to where they want to go. So for each person, it's different. For some, it's work. For some, it's not. And it's just, you know, again, a no judgment zone. So if that's what you want to do, we'll help you get there.
Do you know what your path is? Do you know what you want your path to be, Mike?
My path is kind of constantly changing, but right now I want to work with computers. I'd like to do that as a job. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have my own company to fix computers. You know, that may not be possible, but...
Why wouldn't it be? You're ambitious. You know computers, and you're obviously having no problem with this conversation, so why wouldn't it be?
Well, for one, I don't know the business aspect of
okay.
it. You know, I would not know what goes into getting a job, a business up and going. I would not know where to start, where to get funding for that type of thing.
But you seem like a smart guy. You could probably learn that if somebody taught it to you, right?
Yes, I could probably pick it up pretty quickly. Yeah. But, you know, it's just the starting out and finding where to get that type of information reliably that, you know, I don't know if I would want to do that right away.
Is that where you – well, okay. Yeah, I got it. Is that where you and other organizations come into this picture here?
We come in to help them learn that stuff. But more importantly, it's almost like – you know, each of them have their own skills that you can hone to for employment purposes. But in addition to that, you know, they need to know how to cook and how to be independent and all those things. But when Mike first started 3 years ago, he hid behind a computer during group. Like, you couldn't get him to talk because he didn't have any confidence that anybody was interested in what he wanted to say. And that's kind of common with our members and that we've seen kind of our experience with kids with autism is that they almost think that people aren't interested or they're going to laugh at me or whatever. And sometimes that's been their past experience. And so sometimes they're just not – they look at the ground and they talk really softly, and Mike has really come out of his shell, as some of the others have, and the more things they do, the more that confidence builds.
What gave you that confidence?
I think finally having friends that did not make fun of me mm-hmm. or use me, but actually wanted to be around me, actually go out and have fun.
You just made an interesting statement. Friends that used you. How were you used?
Well, I mean... I don't know if use is the right word, but sometimes, you know, I may have people that I hang out with, but they're not exactly friends.
Right.
You know, I don't know them that well.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, they'll just use me for a quick laugh. Mm.
And were you aware of that at the time?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I may have gone along with it, but at that point it was benefiting me. Because of what they were doing.
That's right. Okay. Both of you have sons who are autistic. Your son, I believe, Nancy, is 22 and a senior in college.
Yes, he is.
He, too, was diagnosed with high-functioning autism. What services were available to him as he grew up, and which helped him enough to get him into college? He's a senior in college, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know. That's something, right? So he was diagnosed when he was 3. So his autism's really obvious. I know, you know, Ray had sort of said Ray J was diagnosed at 14. So a diagnosis at 3, it was sort of clear autism.
What were the signs at that age?
Oh, gosh. Things were pretty bad. So tantruming all the time, difficulty transitioning, self-injurious behaviors, hitting his head, hitting other people with his head, picky eating, not sleeping. His language was all inside out. He had an enormous vocabulary but couldn't tell you what he wanted.
How do you know that then? How do you know he had a big vocabulary if he couldn't tell you?
Well, he could talk, and he was reciting passages from books.
Ah.
And so he's got this sort of photographic memory. You were asking, like, what would he have done 30 years ago, you know, if there weren't computers? And he would read books because that's what he did when he was little, just read and memorized books. And and he still does that today. And so, you know, I think we were, like, walking on eggshells all the time because you just didn't want to make a mistake that would set off yet another tantrum or meltdown. It was
so were there enough services all through that period of his life, his young childhood through his teenage years, to help you and to help him advance?
Yeah, you know, we did get a little bit of early intervention services, and I got trained as a parent to learn how to understand his autism and really work with him at home all the time.
But what services begin to drop away when you cross this threshold to adulthood?
So, and then the school helps out. And so he's getting services in school. We're working on goals in school, some of them similar to what we work on at home. But that all continues. And what happens is at 18 or whenever they graduate from high school, they don't have the structure of school. And if they had an IEP, an individualized education plan, with services and accommodations in the school environment, working on goals at school, that goes away when they graduate. And there is a component of the IEP where you're supposed to talk about transition to the next phase of life and what resources are available. And I think there's a disconnect, although people are beginning to realize that disconnect exists and are working to changing that. But there aren't necessarily any supports that are going to take up the slack. So there is like vocational rehabilitation that could come in and do a skills or assessment to see where are your vocational skills and help you find a job. But I think there's limits to, you know, who they're helping and the kinds of jobs that they're able to find and the additional supports. Like Stacey was saying, they're not working on boosting your confidence and working on those social skills and the hidden curriculum that we talk about with all these unwritten rules that our guys and girls need to learn.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them, they might try vocational rehabilitation, but it's not effective for them. It's not enough. And so they leave it behind. And I, when I talk to parents, and that's what I do for the Autism Society, is talk to parents and guide them to a resource. And I provide that education now to help parents understand, well, how do we end up being the case manager and we end up being the job coach and we end up being the business manager and, you know, and teaching parents how to do that is something I do. And that's part of how I was able to help get my son, you know, into college, was that I sort of knew what I needed to work on. And we worked on those things at home. And I do workshops on this now.
Where does he go to college?
He is at Guilford College.
And he's a senior?
And he is a senior major.
Wow.
Environmental studies minor. Yeah. It's really incredible.
That is incredible. We come back, we'll talk about Stacy's 29-year-old son, who also has autism. And I want to find out about his transition into adulthood from those precarious teen years.
Okay.
And we'll talk some more to Mike. Mike Halk is with us, a member of Ignite, along with Nancy Popkin, who's the Autism Resource Specialist for the Autism Society, and Stacy Holdgren, Director of Ignite. We're coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and NS2, presenting the Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas Rocks Extravaganza, Friday, December 4th at Ovens Auditorium. Tickets available today at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. And Taylor Richardson Conger, locally owned and operated specialty shops featuring European and American collections for men and women of discriminating taste. Located in Phillips Place, next to Dean and DeLuca, details at trcstyle.com. Republican lawmakers move to restrict Syrian refugees from entering the United States. Presidential candidates outline their plans to combat terrorism. And Bernie Sanders defines his vision of democratic socialism. That's just a couple of the topics that you'll be hearing a panel of journalists talk about on the first hour of the weekly news roundup on the Diane Rehm Show in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. Want to join our conversation? Search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter, or email us, charlottetalks@wfae.org.
I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Duncan McFadden. Thanks for inviting us into your home on weekend mornings.
Stay in your PJs. We'll still take you all around the world for the news and introduce you to some fascinating people who'll make you understand something, see something anew, or just plain laugh.
It's Weekend Edition from NPR and WFAE. Saturday and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about autism and Asperger's and an organization in Davidson called Ignite, for which there will be a fundraiser, the third annual Americana Live Car Show, sponsored by Ray Evernham, on November the 28th. We have information about that on our website. We're here with Stacy Hultgren, director of Ignite. That's the service in Davidson for young adults who are on the Asperger's autism spectrum, helping them to become full human beings. Nancy Popkin is an autism resource specialist with the Autism Society of North Carolina. Both of these ladies are parents of young adults with autism. And Mike Hauk is a club member of Ignite. He has Asperger's. Talk to me about your son. He's 29 years old.
Yes.
How was his transition from childhood to adulthood, and where is he today in his life?
It was really rocky there for a while. He right now is living in an apartment in Charlotte and enjoys the independence of that. His, he's very good at home skills, cleaning, cooking. He can do all of those things. But he has a lot of trouble with communication and with anxiety, which is a pretty common issue for people on the spectrum, no matter how high-functioning, quote-unquote, that they might be. Sometimes the anxiety can be high enough where that keeps them from trying new things.
Is that built in, or is that because of life experience, where they've been mistreated or they've misunderstood and just navigating life is so hard they'd rather not deal with it?
I think it's both. They have kind of a generalized anxiety, like a higher level of sensitivity to things that kind of starts off as being a problem, and then when you add those other things that are difficult for them in school or, just trying to navigate the social realm, that makes it go higher. There is such a thing as, social anxiety where being with other people is difficult. So you can have people on the spectrum who might have even two or three types of anxiety, but sometimes they hide it very well, and that's one of the problems with understanding people on the higher end of Asperger's, is that they have good vocabularies, they speak very well, and your expectations of what their potential is or what their understanding is kind of skewed, because the very simple concepts of, time and planning and making goals and just things like that are very difficult. So when, you make those assumptions that they have all those underlying skills, I think sometimes we make the wrong judgment.
Does he have a job? Does he have friends?
He has a part-time job at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And friends. He wants friends very much. He does not have friends. Although everybody loves him. So people at work think, love him.
So is he a member of Ignite?
He is not, because he doesn't fit our criteria. He has autism as opposed to, Asperger's and stuff. He has a lot of communication problems and some behaviors that
And yet he's living on he's living on his own.
Yes.
How difficult has that been for him? How difficult has that been for you?
It's been way more difficult for me. He's wanted to live on his own for a very long time. And for his name is Andrew, and he has always had a very high level of motivation and moving on and being an adult and getting, he's very motivated. And that's not always true for people on the spectrum who, may not get any intrinsic reward out of things that we Right. think about, but he's made friends with people at the apartment, and it's all on a very superficial level, which is about all he can handle, so that works for him.
Nancy, your son's 22, he's a senior in college, and, and he's evidently brilliant because he really he's a biology major, and you say that he's really smart, but that there are some things, common sense things, that he struggles with. For instance,
Simple example, with money. We use debit cards, and you do carry cash, but a lot of interactions with money are very abstract when you pay for things. And where's that money coming from if you just swipe a card? And while we've worked on understanding, you know, this is your checking account, this is your savings account, he's even had an issue where he got some money out of the ATM machine and he put that, you know, $20 bills in his wallet. And then he got his birthday present and there was another $20 bill. And he went to go buy himself something as a birthday treat with the mm-hmm. birthday money. But mm-hmm. he opened up his wallet and he was like, well, which of the $20 bills is the birthday one? And so he can write a brilliant essay for, you know, analyzing a book that he's read. But when it comes to these everyday functional skills, it surprises people that would be challenging. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things, those are everyday practical, you know, safety and problem solving things that we're constantly working on and teaching. And I keep a running list of, okay, I need to teach him that.
So, Mike, everybody's different, and the people that we're talking about here are different from you, and they're different from me and all that good stuff. Do you see any of yourself in what they're talking about, or do you have particular things that you struggle with that you know about, that people have told you about?
If you had talked to me 3 years ago, I probably would have had a lot of these same things. I understood where money comes from. I did that. But, you know, what do I need it for? I'm not going anywhere.
Well, now you are going someplace. Yeah. And you go out and you drive now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have three jobs.
And a girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're the hardest working man in show business. is that all because of Ignite?
Pretty much, yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's remarkable. Yes. And wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
It is. And I think we love to tell people about Ignite. We're so proud of it. It really has done a wonderful thing. Stacy's done a wonderful job creating this environment.
So one of the things that they mentioned, Mike, that people from Ignite do, the club members do, is they go out to restaurants together. They go to the movies together. They're social.
Mm-hmm.
They do things socially that everybody else takes for granted and that you've been denied for most of your life. How has that changed you as a person?
Well,
are you happier? Are you?
Most definitely, yes.
Most definitely happier.
Yes.
Are you less bored?
Yes.
Are you less focused on all the things that you used to do to occupy yourself, like video games and computers, because no one would talk to you. You had nobody to talk to, so you just focused all of your attention on that, on those things. Are you more open now? Are you more? Is it easier for you? Is it easy for you to be social?
Not always.
Okay.
Not always.
Where is it difficult? In what circumstances is it difficult for you?
Most people, when they go to, say, a party at a friend's place, there are a bunch of people there that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to go right up to them, say, hi, how are you, and find a topic and start talking.
Mm-mm.
It's not that easy for someone with autism.
I got to tell you, it's not easy for me. I don't like to be in social situations like
yeah.
that, particularly where I don't know people. I would just as soon talk to the wall. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, if I were to go to a party with something like that, more likely I'd be talking to someone I already know.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
You know, I would not want to branch out and find someone who they don't know me.
Yeah.
They might judge me.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there.
But with this group of people that you have gotten to know through Ignite, you can do things together. You're comfortable together.
Yes.
And I think that's true of everybody. We're more comfortable with people we
yes.
know.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think, though, finding that shared common interests is something. And when I talk to parents a lot, a lot of parents will call our office and they're looking for a social group, not necessarily social skills, but just a group for their kids to be part of. And in some ways, it's great to bring together some folks who have the same diagnosis, but I think at the same time, finding a group that has a shared common interest is even more important, because that's how we naturally make friends. So we always need to look at those skills or interests, but sometimes the interests that the folks on the spectrum have are not so mainstream. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not, and that's the challenge.
So what are the things that you and your friends like to do now?
Believe it or not, we'll watch different shows together, anime mostly.
Mm-hmm.
play video games, we'll hang out, go out to eat. Sometimes between groups at Ignite, a bunch of us will go out to, you know, Brickhouse Tavern, which is literally right next door.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go there and eat. We each pay our own bill, pay tips, all that. You know, we may just look like a bunch of normal people going out to eat.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, what's really important here is that these are people who never had those opportunities because they didn't have friends to do it with. And it's almost like the curve gets bigger. The gap gets bigger in what your skills are and what other typical people's skills are. So that if you've never gone out, you don't know really how to be in a restaurant or what you should do or tipping or anything. One of the parents said to me one night, she was like, oh, so the guys go out for dinner and so what, you know, you go with them. And I'm like, no, I don't. They go out together. And she says, but he doesn't know how to order food. And I was like, yes, he does. He does now.
Yeah.
And she was like almost in tears thinking about, the things that he could not do before that now he is doing on his own.
Let me share with you some comments and questions that have come in from listeners as we've been talking. Sarah emails, my son is 33 years old. He has never been diagnosed with Asperger's but has many of the symptoms. He has told me that he thinks he has Asperger's on the high end of the spectrum. He recently finished his biology degree. He's working but not in his field. The idea of the interview is overwhelming. I got to tell you, it is overwhelming for most people.
Yes, it is.
Me too. I usually kick the bucket in an interview. I'm not good at it. He has a difficult time reading people's faces, their emotions. Could Ignite help him?
Well, unfortunately, his age is an issue because we are four young adults. And so at his age now, he wouldn't fit our criteria. Should he have something?
Are there organizations that could?
Well, since Ignite is kind of the only one of its kind, if he had an Ignite for older individuals, because I do get calls for older people, I think that the same techniques would work, the same kinds of things that we do would work, and he would get a lot of enjoyment out of it. It's just that we're only one small group.
Kit emails, what we have seen and what Ignite promotes is a huge increase in confidence. This is something that is incredibly helpful in life for these individuals. This is the key in growing independence. Marion and Matthews, Nancy Popkin has been such an advocate for the parents of autistic children here for many years. She has tirelessly used her own experiences and keen intelligence to help others. I was in a parent support group started by her about 15 years ago. It helped so much in guiding us to resources and to know that we were not alone. I'm so grateful to her and thankful that she continues to help others on this path.
That's thanks, nice. Marion.
That was nice.
Laura, my 12-year-old son attends the Epiphany School of Charlotte, a small school located in Dilworth that's focused on children with Asperger's syndrome in grades 2 through 8. The classroom environment is customized to the sensory need of our kids, and the teacher ratio is 4 to 1. The kids get this focused support and training, and when ready, return to the mainstream environment. It's been an absolute game changer to help my son. His self-esteem and confidence has just soared in this remarkable environment. Opportunities like Epiphany and Ignite can have an amazing impact on individuals on the autism spectrum. With intentional interventions, our kids can be contributing members of society and live meaningful lives. And you point out, Stacy, that young people with high-functioning autism and Asperger's generally do not qualify for any state services. And when
that's
you consider
true.
What that comment just said, why not?
Most services are based upon an IQ or, you know, a very restrictive criteria so that, you know, as like Mike here who speaks so well, if he went in there and said, I need services,
they wouldn't believe him.
They wouldn't believe him.
Right.
What has been the most important thing about Ignite for you, Mike?
Having some place to go that I know I can be myself. Uh-huh. They will not make fun of me for it.
You feel like yourself here?
is that your question?
I don't know. I'll retract the question. Nobody feels like themselves on the radio show. Ignite is in one location, and we have such a wide listenership, and it's the one of a kind program in the country. Mm-hmm. So people who are not in Davidson, who are out in Matthews or up in Hickory, I mean, what do they do?
So we get calls, and my office for the Autism Society actually covers a 10-county region around Charlotte. And when parents call looking for the kind of confidence building and social opportunities and ways to gain, whether it's experience or knowledge, we direct them to whatever resources do exist. So the Autism Society of North Carolina has parent support groups where parents can at least connect with other parents, and we've got them in multiple counties around the area. Sometimes I'm directing parents, like the caller, the email with the 33-year-old. There are some wonderful books that – I know that sounds like a little thing, but I've actually used several books to help me learn to help my son.
I have 30 seconds left. Okay. And both of you have expressed concern about your son in your absence going forward. Mm-hmm. What can parents do to prepare their adult children who have this problem? I really have 15 seconds.
You know, get in touch with the Autism Society of North Carolina. The Autism Resource Specialist can guide you to whether it's workshops and opportunities in the community to gain skills. I know I do trainings for parents and help them learn how to help their children.
Nancy Popkin is Autism Resource Specialist for the Autism Society of North Carolina, the parent of a young adult with autism. Stacy Hultgren is Director of Ignite up in Davidson, also the parent of a child with autism. And Mike Houck is a club member of Ignite with Asperger's. Mike, you're a great guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.